This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. Available now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your favorite bookseller. Publishers Weekly calls Get Scrappy a helpful digital marketing Bible. You can read the first chapter, get special digital extras, and learn more now at GetScrappyBook.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Jen Slasky. Jen is the Executive Director of Marketing Communications at Spiceworks, but she's more commonly known around the office as the Exec Brand Muse, where she's responsible for the essence of the Spiceworks brand, a brand that's previously won Marketing Prof's Brand of the Year, and a brand that she refers to as an inside-out brand because of how Spiceworks company culture helps fuel it. Jen joined the company in 2006 and has been helping to create and evolve the company's brand and marketing efforts ever since. Jen has always had a passion and flair for the startup world. Before Spiceworks, she held multiple marketing positions at companies like PCOrder.com and Motive and ran a full spectrum of guerrilla, online, and offline marketing programs and events as an independent marketing consultant. Jen graduated from Stanford University with a liberal arts degree. In her spare time, she enjoys day tripping to classic Americana towns, vintage thrifting, journaling, collaging, and facilitating self-discovery workshops and retreats for individuals, teams, and small interest groups. Jen, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks for having me, Nick. I'm really excited about this.
So, you know, I read bios and a lot of times they have, all of the business as usual stuff in them. But every now and then there's something that gets my interest. I'm thinking back to a recent episode with Mike A. Weber, and he was talking about how he also pursued something along the lines of spoon carving along the side, on the side of things. And I see you're day tripping to classic Americana towns. So define, as we're getting into defining branding, define classic Americana towns.
Oh wow, it's a great question. When I put that in there, I think that what had struck me is in my 20s, I spent a lot of time traveling internationally, and I even lived in Sydney, Australia for a stint. And I think after that, while I still enjoy traveling, what I've noticed is my favorite places are those places that I can stumble on almost in my own backyard, or maybe within a day trip's distance from me. And to me, it's really just the places where you go, and maybe there's a town square back from days of old. It may or may not be revitalized, but I've just found those are the towns where you find the unique little antique shops, and there'll still maybe be a soda fountain, or there's a little cafe where the locals come and sit and maybe read their newspaper every day, or just have conversation about life. And it's always a little bit slower of a pace and just seems to have a lot of the trappings of the simple things, I think, in life that that just really appeal to me and seem pretty timeless. So I guess I've never been asked that before. So it's good that you had me define it, but that's
yeah.
books I love.
Well, because I know in my mind, one that came immediately to mind, it's, you know, we're on summer vacation here, and last summer we went to Disneyland, and on the way back, stopped at the Grand Canyon and spent the night in Williams, Arizona. Which to me was, when you said that, that was my word association, because it was just it was a little Route 66 town, and lots of, I believe there was soda fountains, yep, and, you know, diners, and but not and still in a kind of not too self-aware way. Obviously things have been kept up and restored, but not totally touristy either. So I love me some Americana.
I actually, I am about to be married 4th of July weekend on that note. And afterwards, my fiance had asked me, where do you want to go on our honeymoon? And I told him, I said, I would just want to go on a road trip. We'll be getting married in Canton, Ohio, which is my hometown. And we're just going to hop in a car afterwards. And I said, I don't even need to know where we're going. You can plan it. I just love the idea of stopping along wherever the day takes us. And you just always know with those towns, you're going to find a great burger there.
Oh,
always.
Yeah.
That's the hallmark for those Americana towns.
That is that is true for certain. I have to always try to find something that is not always the great burger.
Right,
Because I end up eating too many great burgers and having a different problem. So beyond having a hobby that I am in awe of and wish I could commit more time and resources to, I also love your, I don't know if I want to call it your not real title, because in some ways it's probably is more of your real title than what your formal title is, of being the exec brand muse. So tell me, as we're kind of going through, I feel like I'm making you, it's like the classification hour. I'm going through and defining things, Americana, but define an exec brand muse.
Yeah, you know, I think it is. And I like that you said that. It's really what I feel it's more true to who I am and what I do these days at Spiceworks. You know, I think that there's always titles people give you relative to what your work encapsulates. And so I was the first marketer at Spiceworks, and I was doing marketing communications. And then as the years went on and my team grew, and I had a lot of people that were much smarter and much better at what I used to do than doing far more than I'd ever done. And what I started realizing is they were really the ones that were making the actual practical work happen and doing it incredibly well. And as we got bigger, my role just felt a lot more like orchestration and inspiration, if you will. And so the reason for the title there is I always felt very funny about anybody giving me ownership over the brand, because to me, the brand's this experience that we all create. And when I say all of us, I don't even mean just those of us in marketing. Certainly at Spiceworks, it's a collective effort across the company, and everything that we do as employees translates into the brand experience. And so the word muse just stuck, because if you just think about, you know, that it's not necessarily the person that's doing all the hard work and in there making the magic happen, but they're kind of, you know, floating around seeing all the different pieces and parts that can come together to create this great orchestra that is brand. And so that's really the background on the title. And I think also that comes from, I've always said that I never want to be at a company where the term and the phrase brand police is alive and well and is really meant. And I absolutely understand how and why companies get there and why oftentimes it's necessary. But I just always said I never wanted to be in a role of enforcing so much as inspiring the brand and educating people on the brand and how to translate that out into the world.
I love the idea of enforcing versus inspiring, and you know, kind of stemming from that, you know, label that I think all of us that have brand in and around our titles, roles, and responsibilities, you know, that is irony alert. That is a brand that we are kind of stuck with sometimes. Of, oh, here come the brand police,
And it's interesting, and this kind of really kind of gets close to the heart of I want to talk about a lot of things, but definitely talked about the role that all of the people and the culture play at Spiceworks. And ultimately, I think the end result is, you know, the brand being something that inspires as opposed to something that is enforced. And I also think, you know, the not just the roles and the labels, but the dynamics there too, because, you know, that enforcing the brand police is something that's done to people or individuals, mm-hmm. as opposed to something that they're a part of and that they add to as well. But I guess, you know, kind of talk through for those that don't know that are listening, you know, the, you know, how that inside out branding works at Spiceworks. And then I have a follow-up question. Instead of piling on and giving you 35 questions and saying, go, why don't you give the elevator pitch for someone that hasn't heard of inside-out branding?
Sure, sure. And I need to be the first to say that I use that phrase a lot. I certainly did not come up with it. And shame on me, because I can't remember where in the world I first saw that. And I don't think I realized when I first saw it how instrumental it would be to my philosophy and what drives me here in terms of what we do from a brand perspective. But it really resonated because, you know, an inside out brand is pretty much saying that what happens here at home in the day to day ultimately gets translated out into the experience that anybody has with Spiceworks. And you know, for us, for those that don't know just a bit about Spiceworks, but we cater to in general, the technology community, specifically IT. And so we are an internet company that provides free tools, information, and resources for IT professionals for free. And then how we do that for free is basically through advertising with tech vendors. So big tech companies like the Microsofts of the world, the Dells, the HP that are trying to connect with and sell to IT professionals, we connect them within our professional network. And the only reason I give the background on that is not to be a plug for Spiceworks, but to say that our primary community that we were always trying to communicate with were IT professionals who can be a really, really skeptical bunch and in a healthy way. They ask a lot of hard questions. And so they don't buy the traditional marketing and anything smoke and mirrors or even somewhat fluffy. They will just not only blow you off, but then your credibility is sort of ruined forever. They just really want, you know, to know the information and technical facts. And so I think for us early on with Spiceworks and the notion of the inside out brand, what happened is when the company started, we spent a lot of time with these IT professionals as people getting to know them. And, you know, a lot of people will be like, well, how in the world could you do that? That takes so much time. But I think that the thing was, is we really didn't over-engineer it. The co-founders that started the company, you know, back to road tripping, they pretty much hit the road here in Austin, Texas, where we're based. And they sat down, had lunch with different IT pros in town, took them coffee and just would talk to them, would watch them do their day and got to know them as people and really listen to the challenges that they were facing. And so I think that that direct connection with the people, and I say people intentionally, not the demographic, you know, not the target market or the target audience, but the individuals, the people, really getting to know them. I think that's what really started the essence of the Inside Out brand, because when we came back then and started doing our day jobs, no matter who we were, whether it was Jen who was doing email marketing at that time to communicate with them, or it was a developer that was doing the next release, or it was someone in support that was fielding questions, or even, you know, somebody that was in sales selling to the tech vendors, we all had gotten to know these IT pros as people. And we realized just the same way we developed relationships with them in the sit-down conversations we had, why didn't we just go ahead and continue doing that in our work? And so I apologize because I know that's a long-winded answer, but I really feel like that was the essence of where it started the Inside Out brand. And then from there, we just decided we're just going to be ourselves. Like, we're going to hire really just good people, you know, people that have similar values, that are passionate, creative, that want to take ownership. people that are going to have a real respect for these IT pros as people that we're building this for, and then also for the tech marketers as people that we're helping to connect them with. And I think that one-to-one connection and that really authentic human relationship approach is what's been at the core and the heart of our brand. And when I say inside out brand, because when you come to work and you get to do that and you're aware of the people you're marketing to as people, not just as a persona or a demographic, and all those things that I get are necessary as you get bigger and you want to be, you know, targeted in your messaging and you want to be appropriate in what you're saying. But I think when it gets back to that, it just makes it more fun to come to work because you're just getting to be you and you're getting to be a human being and bring the best of yourself to your job. And that effectively gets, you know, really like infused into the work and just, I think, energetically translated out into the experience that people have with you in whatever capacity they're interacting with your brand.
I love that. Here's your thing. You said you may not have come up with inside out branding, but I think your whole approach, you could brand it as road trip branding.
Oh,
because it ties to who you are, how you do it, but also the Spice Works stories too. I love that. I think too often, especially on the branding and marketing side, it's easy for us to kind of stay with our heads down in our cubes, mm-hmm. in our offices, mm-hmm. and not get out there and see people. And, mm-hmm. you know, when I was brand side, I kind of accidentally ended up at a trade show once, and it was one of the most fulfilling experiences, getting to actually meet the customers. And such a crazy novel thought, mm-hmm. that all of us would preach the importance of, but in practice, not many do. So I think any way to get out there and, you know, like you said, get to know people, develop that deep respect like you had for the IT pros. And in teasing that out a little bit, you know, you said not just a persona. Can you talk a little bit about getting beyond the persona? Because I think as you look at kind of implementation, you know, it's tricky because so many think, oh yeah, we have a persona, we have that person in mind. It's someone named Jen. Mm-hmm. It's someone that likes road trips and journaling and collaging. And, you know, we kind of know a little bit about the idea of her. But in getting beyond that, you know, how do you take that kind of approach to the next level?
I think the thing is not over-engineering things. I think in the day and age of big data and content and surveys and all the information we have access to and all the data we can get and all the data we should get to be smart marketers, to inform marketing at a certain level. But I think that can get paralyzing. And I think that we can sometimes forget that good old-fashioned conversations still work. And it doesn't always need to be an elaborate 3-month focus group. It could just be lunch, or it could just be happy hour. It could just be looking at the town that you live in, wherever you are, and looking at your customer list and saying, hey, these people that are in these personas, who's here locally? Why don't we just invite them to the office for lunch? Or why don't we invite them out for beers and let's sit and talk to them? And even though we have a thought of who this persona is on paper, that we've given this name that everybody uses, let's once in a while get out there and reconnect with the actual human beings this persona is based on and just have some general conversations. And I think that that's the thing. I think sometimes that qualitative data and those qualitative interactions can be directionally really sound and can help you come back and even refine those personas a bit to say, okay, that was good to get back out there. It turns out that we didn't get this quite right. Or it turns out, hey, we're still spot on. But to me, the cool thing about that is that for the marketer, for the brander involved, what you can't quantify is that I think most marketers and branders that go do that come back re-inspired. And I keep using that word because, again, I think in the day and age of being so connected, this is certainly not a novel comment I'm going to make, but we're oftentimes far less connected because of that to the actual human beings. And I think anytime you get to have a good old-fashioned interaction with another human being, especially in the capacity of work, especially in the capacity of branding and marketing to them, it just gets you re-inspired because you realize we're all just people living our lives, trying to get things done and help things do things better, easier, in ways that make us happier. And so to reconnect with those people that our brands are trying to do that for is always always, to me, reinvigorating and re-inspiring.
Well, I love the point about, you know, that we can, one downside to all of the great tools that we have today is that we can end up over-engineering some of this stuff too. And that's totally on my wavelength about not kind of over-baking strategy and kind of the big focus of the book I just wrote too on scrappy marketing. And if it sounds like Jen and I are on the same wavelength on this, you can actually see us live and in person talking about all of this in a few months at Marketing Profs, wonderful B2B forum in Boston. So we'll be joined by Erica from Moz as well on a scrappy marketing panel, as it were. So should be a lot of fun. But I you know, it sounds, you know, I don't think we talk about inspiration enough in branding and marketing. And I think that that's what's missing in a lot of work too. And I think sometimes we look at, you know, to your point about over-engineering things, I think we're always looking for what's the additive process here? You know, what's all this stuff that we can add to it? You know, the big exhaustive focus groups, the big, you know, new process, all of this. And a lot of times we miss out on what we can gain from that human connection as well.
Mm-hmm. And I certainly, Nick, too, I don't want to seem like I'm discounting the value and the need for those other things. They are absolutely essential and they have their place. And it is what the responsible marketer does to really understand these things in mass. But I will tell you, I've had so many campaign ideas and concepts on my team that have been so clever or they've been refreshing or hilarious. And my team will come to me with this idea and I will love it. And then I'll say, did you ask any IT pros what they think? And I'll sometimes get those deer in headlights look and they'll be like, well, no, because everybody up here thinks it's funny. I'm like, right, but we're not IT pros. So it doesn't need to be this statistically significant number, but we've got an IT team downstairs of 10 folks. Can you just wander down there and ask them? And it's actually really humbling and rewarding when they come back and they're like, wow, it actually turned out they didn't think it was funny at all. They thought it was a little bit cheesy, or they thought it was lame, or they thought X, Y, and Z. And I actually always love that, because I say to my team, well, aren't you glad you didn't spend all the time and money to get that out there in the wild to find that out later? And then what did they tell you? And the campaigns always end up better and people are more excited about them because you know that they've been somewhat vetted. And again, I think that sometimes for, you know, broader mass market things, you know, bigger focus groups are necessary. But I do think in a lot of instances, if you can just develop some relationships with a handful of your clients or your user base, they're just a really great sounding board to kind of save you from yourself sometimes.
Well, totally. I mean, I think that, you know, that's one of the stats that I share in the book is that, you know, 76% of us marketers feel like we know what our customers want, but only 34% have bothered to ask. And that used to be, there was more of an excuse for that when it, you know, took convening a focus group to quickly poll people. But I think even beyond the technology, like you're saying, because I always pivot to, you know, asking people online, you know, connecting with customers there, asking them. But even your, I don't mean this in a bad way, but low tech way of just going and asking the people like that near you. I think is a huge opportunity that too many are missing. It's again, it's kind of that difference. You talk about inside out. You know, I think sometimes with marketing, with branding, we can get a little insular. And I think that that's where that bad stereotype we get hung with sometime of being the brand police comes from too.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's the thing too. I think that this, you know, the notion of this reaching out, it's not just about even the out there to your customers, to your clients. I think that it's internally. You know, I hear a lot of marketers that are understandably very frustrated because they go and they do the best work they can, and then their sales teams will say, oh, these leads aren't good, or marketing's not really supporting us, or they're not helping us. And there will, of course, be this natural tension or divide that exists between sales and marketing. But I think that it exists there too. I think going over and getting to know the salespeople that you support as people, sitting in on their calls with them to really understand how the conversations are going, you know, not being so rigid in this is the messaging you must say because that's how we say it and that's our identity, but holding that a bit loosely where that's a compass that what we think will work, but really trying to get in the trenches to understand the sales folks in their world. And I know everybody has a day job to do, and this can sound impossible. Like, how could I find the time? But I think even those relationships with the sales folks in your organization make a difference too, because then you understand them as people and what makes them tick and why they're trying to close their deals and hit their commission because of how, you know, even their last work. And I think that that can change everything too, in terms of, you know, that the general happiness and the day-to-day job and life of a marketer or brander when you can do that internally. I think it's the same thing with the, you know, product marketing teams or the development teams in terms of going and understanding how they're understanding the target market, the people that they're building the products for. So I think that this is just the type of thing that these human conversations and getting to know the people is something that extends, you know, every single level from, you know, the inside the company you're working in, but also then outside to the people that you're actually marketing to.
You have a great post on this over at the Spiceworks blog that I will link up to in our show notes, that has an overview of a lot of what you've talked about asking, about not being what you're not, meeting in person, called, Your Brand's A Game, You. And, yeah, what else, you know, kind of beyond, the stuff in the post and everything else, how do you get people, other people internally, off the bench and into the game from a brand building perspective?
Mm-hmm. We have, you know, another comment that I should make is, again, different brands at different phases of their life, the ability to do this can be different, because admittedly, I started out at Spiceworks as, you know, pretty much our first marcommer, first person thinking about brand, quote unquote, doing brand. And so I've been with the company and, you know, helped to curate and evolve that. And I understand that a lot of bigger brands, people go to companies that have been established, and this ship to a certain degree has sailed in terms of what the brand is defined as and how it's manifested. You know, I do still think that there are the opportunities there to be reaching out, being inspired, really talking to clients to continue evolving and honing that brand. But I think here internally, we in the early days would live, eat, and breathe it all in the same building. When you have a small team, you're vibing off each other, and it just ends up being a bit contagious, where you end up developing this, you know, this way of being that's very similar. And we never even realized it was brand when we were doing it. For the first several years, we never really even talked about brand. We just said, hey, let's all show up and be ourselves. Let's act human, be human. Let's just, let's not be corporate and stodgy and clinical. Let's just make this a very human experience. And so as we got bigger as a company, the challenge we had is we would hire other very smart people from other tech companies, specifically tech marketers that had done marketing a certain way that was far less conversational, if you will, you know, and they had been really successful in their own right doing things in a lot more of a corporate way. And I was trying to figure out, as we grew, how do we maintain the essence of this brand that we've built so that it doesn't become corporate? Because that's the responsible thing to do for a lot of people when they come in. They've been successful other places and they say, oh, well, we need to, you know, speak seriously, and these are technical people, so let's you know, be a bit more formal on this so that we can gain their trust. And what I ended up doing, I tried my first go of it to create a brand book, and I called it a brand book intentionally because guidelines sounded too formal. Yeah,
style guide, all the police stuff.
Exactly. And I tried to be thoughtful about what we called it, and I struggled on that project. I think my boss at the time followed up with me several times over the course of months asking me, where are we at on that? How are we doing? And I was dragging my feet, and I finally realized, because it was so anti-theatrical to the essence of the brand, to try to capture it in there. And we certainly have a brand book now that serves a very different function that makes a lot of sense. But what ended up happening as a result is I created something completely from scratch, a homegrown brand camp is what we call it. Again, it's not formal brand training, it's brand camp. And anybody that's in marketing, when they come on board within their first 2 months or so at Spiceworks, they go through a full day hands-on training in terms of what it means to be the Spiceworks brand first and foremost, and then also to bring the Spiceworks brand to life. And the cool part about that is we go through things in terms of the philosophy and the history of the brand and the why we believe this and the stories. And we talk about the IT pros that call themselves Spice Heads, actually. And we give practical tools in terms of copywriting. What does it mean to write in the Spiceworks voice and how do you do that? So a lot of other really useful practical tools that they can take in their day. But the year after I started it, it was interesting because our then CEO, Scott Abel, got wind of it and he knew what it was about. And he affectionately referred to it as corporate rehab because we were trying to unwire, you know, these folks that had come from these other careers where that's what you do and that's successful because that's their brand and it's not right or wrong. Yeah. It's just different. But that's been the most practical, useful way that we've had is doing that. And the cool thing is there's several people in other departments that come and go through it. Our support team now goes through it. Our recruiting team goes through it. We have a group of sales folks that goes through it because it's pretty widely accepted at Spiceworks that they are all translating the brand too. And so now to be clear, we're at about, you know, the 500-ish mark now, and we're in this point of growth where we are realizing that's not enough anymore. We are needing to develop some more formal tools and formal training. And sometimes it pains me to say that, but I think that's just, you know, that's a little bit in terms of growth. As we grow, we are going to need to have a bit more structure around the training and kind of how we reinforce who we are and what we believe in and how we go about doing that and examples, because there's just so many people and so many different teams all doing the best that they can and well-intentioned, but it's really easy for things to get misinterpreted at that point. What one person's definition of being human and authentic is often different than somebody else's. And so we have some challenges ahead, but again, I just think again, trying to be thoughtful about it and making sure that at its core, it's a human brand. I think that when we communicate that with people, they really end up enjoying and being part of that compared to what they've been able to do other places. And this again, Spiceworks clearly does not have the corner of the monopoly on this. There are plenty of human brands out there and we're inspired by them every day. It's just been a bit less, less common in the tech world is what we've seen.
Yeah. So did you end up creating the brand book or did you scrap it in favor of brand camp?
We created the brand book and realized that it had its place. But what I realized is it had its place to be a reference for people after brand camp.
Ah, so and so it's let's say that makes sense. You explain.
Yeah, well, and then that's why, and I think that was the irony that I was banging my head against the wall trying to capture a human brand on paper, and it was so difficult. And I think that we were able to do it in words and whimsy, and the style, the brand book embodied the Spiceworks style. But I knew it wasn't going to work, and that it was going to require that human interaction with people talking about the brand, sharing their experiences. I do an activity in brand camp where I ask people if Hollywood makes a movie of your, and I'll actually ask you this question, Nick, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh, okay.
If Hollywood makes a movie of your life, the life of Nick, who plays you and why?
Oh man, that's a tough, tricky one because, you know, I think any like entrepreneur wishes that like he was, you know, Tony Stark, but so I have all sorts of Iron Man imagery in my head. But I think realistically, with my million kids and trying to get everything done, I'm probably more of a Jim Gaffigan type.
Tell us more. Tell us more about Jim and why he could bring you to life.
I think because he makes people laugh and he's been able to use his very unique circumstances to his benefit. So I think, beyond being a comedian who you laugh at, he has done a bit of, I forget what the word is when people kind of make their own lives, life sculpting, life building, stuff like this kind of engineering of your personal professional gig.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's a fantastic answer, by the way. I love that. That's a question I ask in brand camp within the first 30 minutes as they're getting to know each other and introducing themselves and what they do. And the reason I do that is afterwards is to reinforce to them the notion that we want to be, and we're a personal brand. Spiceworks wants to be a personal brand, but where I start with them is their own personal brand. And how is it that when you look at the things like who you are and what matters most to you as far as your identity, who can capture that? And then we translate that into how we do that with Spiceworks. And so I think even the experience that they have in brand camp, what we want that to do is have that mimic the experience that they are ideally going to deliver in their work for Spiceworks. We have another employee onboarding called Jumpstart, and that's for all employees in their first month or two at Spiceworks. They go through it, and all of our co-founders spend time with them talking about the history of the company, how it started, all the founding stories and the lore and the values that we were founded in. And then all the leaders of the company talk about their department and how it all fits in. And I go last in that. And largely it's about culture. It's about what we value here and the information that people need to get their jobs done. But I close out the session with a session called Being the Brand. And I think in the beginning, you know, new people are like, well, that's strange. Why is it that we're closing with a session on brand when everything else here has largely been about reinforcing the culture? And in that session, I asked them what their aha moment was when they knew they wanted to work at Spiceworks, because we spend most of our lives at work. Like way more than we get to spend with our, for the most part, friends and family and loved ones. And so they go through their stories about why, when they had multiple offers, different places, these are really sharp, bright people that could work any number of places. And they say what their moment was when they knew, wow, that's where I want to spend most of my life in this chapter at Spiceworks. And after that, what I explain to them is I say, you experienced the brand in a way that made you make a life decision. Like, that's how inextricably linked they are here. We think about job candidates for Spiceworks the same way that we would IT pros, the same way we would tech marketers, in terms of the experience we want them to have with it being really human. And so that's how I even convey to them the first step of, they experienced the brand, and whatever it was they experienced there, how do they capture that and then channel that into their work so that somebody else that's on the receiving end of their work can in some way, shape, or form experience like the essence of that. So I know it can be very fuzzy stuff. It can be very touchy-feely for some folks. But I think that it's just really been the magic for us of the brand and how we've managed to win over a lot of these IT pros that, like I said before, are pretty jaded and skeptical kind of based on past experiences and just naturally how they're wired to be really critical thinkers.
Well, that's a great point too, in the kind of the added context and all of that in the industry that you're in as well. So you very effectively turned the microphone on me, and I did a reasonable job at spontaneously answering a question.
Fantastic.
Which did not send me into Friday panic mode. So I would like to ask you a couple as we start to wrap up. With all of this, what is one thing that you would tell, you talked in your bio about kind of your passion for startups. Say someone is a startup brand. What's one thing you'd remind them to consider from a branding perspective as they start their journey?
I think from a branding perspective, go sit down and have coffee, have a beer, have lunch with whoever the person is that you're ultimately going to be marketing to. Because when you're a startup, at that point, it's so much fun. And it actually, the secret is in the beginning, it shouldn't feel like marketing. It should feel like you're communicating with a person. It should feel like you're building relationship. It should feel much more human than it should mechanical. And so I do think, take the time to go meet with these people. And I know this sounds really basic, but make sure you really like and respect that type of person. We have people come in all the time that they'll say, I don't get IT pros and they're nerdy and I'm not nerdy and whatever. I feel so offended because I feel like all IT pros out there are like my brothers or sisters. And even though I am very low tech, which is so ironic, I really appreciate them as people. And I'm not saying that to say you have to appreciate everybody out there and understand and totally jive with them. But I think in a startup, for you to be really inspired, you want to be excited about those people that you're in some way serving.
That's a really good point. I love that. Getting out there and actually connecting with them. Find your humans. Mm-hmm. And finally, what is a brand that has made you smile recently?
A brand that's made me smile recently. You know, and actually this is a brand that has been making me smile for years. And I think this will surprise people because you've got the startup girl here talking about what I love what you called it, road trip branding and all this local and Austin. And so this is going to seem maybe blasphemous to some people, but I really, really, really appreciate the Starbucks brand because what I can tell you is I am continually delighted when I go in there by the people that I interact with at the counter. Like I always feel like I could stay there and if things got slow all day, I could chat with those people and I could learn something from them. And I always feel like they're just very thoughtful. And the reason I just say, you know, it makes me smile is because just randomly the other day I was in there and I think it was busy and there was a long line and I don't even really claim to remember what it was that I did to prompt this. But the young man at the counter that was ringing me out was so friendly. And he said, you know what? That was really nice of you. Your latte is on me today. And I was just so taken aback and it wasn't necessary at all. But again, it was just so that personal touch. And it wasn't at all that you knew he had a checklist that said you should give away 5 free drinks. You know, it just, there was a very genuine sense there. And then when I turn around at Starbucks, there are people that are there really having a heart to heart conversation or getting work done. And no matter where I go, the Starbucks are all different, yet they all have that same feeling of that comfort at home, whether I'm in Australia or I'm in the UK or I'm here in Austin or even Canton, Ohio, my hometown. I think they just do a really great, thoughtful job. And even as I say this, I don't think I really thought about this before, but I think that that's another example of an inside out brand because yeah. For the most part, they treat their employees so great and they invest in them. And that really comes out to me in my experiences when I'm at Starbucks. And I think that that's even more impressive for a company that big to be so galactic, not even global. It feels like I'm sure on Mars there's a Starbucks, but I bet even there you just have that personal experience with people.
No, that totally makes sense. And what you responded to there and after kind of the story you've spent you know, the past half hour talking to us about it, it's not surprising because there, you know, it is as much about the people as mm-hmm. the coffee and mm-hmm. the people on all sides of that. Like you said, the people that are in there having heart to hearts, that are in there working, that are in there, you know, talking about, you know, setting up a business, looking at mm-hmm. logo designs, all kinds of fun, very human things happening there. And I think that's what Starbucks, has done differently too. So awesome. Well, beyond the blog post that I love that I'm going to send people to, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
And when you say that next hour, do you mean me or do you mean Spiceworks?
You can both. It can be both or one or the other.
Yeah, I think easily to learn more about Spiceworks, it's pretty simple. I'd say just head on over to spiceworks.com. That'll, you know, get you started and pointed in the right direction. You can, you know, poke around there. I think in general, our about page does the best job of the overview. But I think to really experience Spiceworks, make sure to get into our community. And the link, Nick, that you provide with my post, especially if you're a marketer, that'll give you, I'd say, your best secret backdoor into what I think is the richest part of Spiceworks, which is the community where there's other certainly tech marketers in there sharing ideas, helping each other out, asking questions, sharing resources, even, you know, with each other. And that's where my post was, is I did that for other tech marketers that were trying to reach IT pros. And you'll just find a treasure trove of blog posts in there from different tech marketers, you know, all walks, different sizes of companies sharing their lessons learned and ideas and inspirations.
Awesome. Well, we will definitely point to the website, your post, and also the community section of the Spiceworks website. Jen, thanks for joining us on Brand.
Thank you, Nick. I can't wait for our panel this fall up in Boston.
Awesome. Again, we'll also link up to that too, Marketing Profs B2B Forum. As we wrap, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community. This week, I want to give a shout out to my friends at Aweber, who I referenced earlier with my spoon carving. But I was also a recent guest on their podcast where I discussed my new book, Get Scrappy. And also Mike Smith, all of these different events, podcasts, and everything else will be joining us this fall at the Social Brand Forum that Aweber is also sponsoring here in Iowa City as well. And a reminder, if you heard something that you liked on this episode or another, or if you have a question you'd like one of our smart guests like Jen to answer, be sure to give a holler using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and RSS. Reminder to rate the show. If you like what you're hearing, head over to iTunes. Help us out. Give us a quick rating and review. Help others find the show. And remember that On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Get Scrappy, Smarter Digital Marketing for Businesses Big and Small. You can order now at Amazon or check out GetScrappyBook.com for special offers and extras. And finally, On Brand is brought to you by the Social Brand Forum. This premier digital marketing experience takes place September 22nd and 23rd in beautiful downtown Iowa City, Iowa. Learn from experts like Jay Baer, Joe Polizzi, and Ginny Dietrich in the heart of the heartland. Listeners of the show get the best rate when they register using promo code ONBRAND at socialbrandforum.com. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.